Amen. I'm going to give him my shot. You help me preach. Where's my amen corner? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Lord, I thank you that you're blessing our children this morning. I thank you that you bless them coming in and going out. I thank you that you order their steps, you anoint their teachers, and you change their hearts today, Lord, to encounter you in such a precious way that they never forget, Lord, the touch of the Master's hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is on the move in and among our youth. So blessed at the college the other night to see a room full of young men and women, world changers, coming out on a Thursday evening to just worship Jesus. It was beautiful what God is doing in our youth and things here. And hallelujah. RC, when you mentioned that this morning, I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit on that, that you're not in that place just to coach, and you know that. But I just want to tell you that there are lives that can be touched through a baseball, through a fishing boat, a fishing pole, whatever it is. And we sometimes think that our calling has to be in a platform or behind a microphone. But I just want to pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the ladies, the young ladies that you send into his care, even in this ball season, God, that you would cause them to encounter Jesus in such a way, Lord, that not only in his words, but in the presence that he carries of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would cause them to encounter and know Jesus, hallelujah, above and beyond, and Father, that his steps are ordered, and Lord, that his hands are anointed, that what he puts his hands to, God, you will touch and move in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe that this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Miss Linda, when you said that about Jeff, it clicked in my spirit, and I felt prophetically that God is doing a stirring. And I'm just going to pray over Jeff this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, you have spoken words over his life. You have spoken words over this house. And Father, I call to order and I call to fruition every deposit of God that has ever been made in his life. Father, that right now, God, wherever he sits, Lord, that this stirring and the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would well up inside of him. Lord, it's not by the words of his mom or his dad, but it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we speak the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord over the generations of that house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. How many believe the promises of God are to our generations? Amen. Hallelujah. I've often said, I don't do what I do for the Lord just for my sake, or even just for his sake, but I do it for the generations yet to come. How many of the scripture tells us that the generations yet to come will rise up and bless the Lord? Hallelujah. Because I believe that there's, you know, we've talked before about when they got ready to cross over the Jordan. He said, now when you do it, he said, go ahead and pick up a rock out of the river and carry it with you to the other side. You need to get a boulder on your shoulder and carry it across the Jordan so that when you get to the other side, pile them up. How many are carrying some boulders this morning? I believe it's about time to pile up some boulders for a memorial on the other side of victory and say, when the generations yet to come look back and say, what meaneth that pile of rocks? You say, that was the goodness and the favor and the deliverance of the Lord in my life. And I will look back to that place, but my generations will look to that place and say, I remember the day. Come on, somebody. Anybody remember the day when God laid his hand on your heart? Yeah. Hallelujah. Because I believe there's a stirring and there's an anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit that transcends words. It's not just about what words you hear. Miss Linda said it so beautifully this morning. It's not about what's up here. It's about what's in here. Man, I'm going to tell you, when God begins to stir your heart and gets a moving upon your heart, it don't matter what your mind thinks, because your heart starts to come in agreement with the word he has spoken over you, and he begins to bring some things to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. And some of you this morning, I encourage you to get a boulder on your shoulder this morning. You don't know yet where you're going. And you don't know yet maybe what that testimony might mean. Hallelujah. But the generations yet to come will thank you because you were faithful even in the crossing over to lay a roadmap and to mark some spots. How many know X marks the spot in a treasure map, but in the treasure map above Jesus, cross marks a spot. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And so we leave roadmaps for the generations yet to come. Mama, how do I handle this situation? Daddy, how do I handle this situation? Grandma, what do I need to do now? You need to pray, baby. You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to know God for yourself. I don't know, did anybody see the little boy on Facebook this week that was praying? If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. He's like, oh God, oh God, oh God, and he's praying. He's about this big. I don't know who he is, but when I need prayer, I'm calling him. Or the lady that plays in the movie. What movie am I talking about? The one that she reminds me of Miss Wilda. The War Room. That's it, man. She gets in her kitchen and she's a swinging her arms and she's a praying. I mean, I believe in the power of prayer. Hallelujah. Because when mamas and daddies pray, things happen. Earth-shaking things happen. Come on, how many are ready for some earth-shaking things to happen? Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe the power of the prayer, and I believe in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. For those of you who know my dad, and those of you who did not get the honor and the privilege to know my dad, he was a praying man. He didn't pray out loud. I thought about that the other day. Dad never prayed out loud per se when he prayed for you. He would just put both hands on you and the presence of the Lord would hit him and he would start to shake his head. And you knew it was the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he would shake his head and he would pray over you. And you didn't know what he said, but you knew it was going to take hold. It was going to work, right? And one of the kids one time when they got ready to pray, they said, pray for me. And he said, prayed for me. And he said, no, you got to shake your head like Pap does. And when you shake your head, that means yes, yes. That's what it means. You got the answer. Come on, somebody. I want somebody to lay hands on me to shake your head saying yes and amen. It's about to happen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the memorials. I'm thankful for the stones. I'm thankful for the places I can look back to and see the favor of God in my life. Anybody in the house? But I'm not just thankful for what's behind me. I'm thankful for what's ahead of me because there's an anticipation and a stirring in my heart in this house and in this day and in this season where God is stirring the hearts of people. I thought about this morning when I was getting ready, and I thought back to 2020. Everybody say amen. The year of COVID, right? And I remember standing right here, and my heart was so heavy, and I had so much on my mind and so much going on in my heart and my mind that I stood here and preached to an empty house because we weren't able to gather. And I could not hardly catch my breath. I thought, Lord, I have no idea. I don't even know if I believe what I'm preaching right now because I'm such a wreck in my spirit. Just emotional and just things going on. And I preached to an empty church. And when I look back across this house and see what God is doing, I begin to see there is a returning to the house of the Lord. We lost some things during COVID, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call back every heart, every soul, every bench, and every pew that lost out during COVID and begin to call back those things. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, it is a whole lot easier to preach to full pews than it is the empty ones. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. There was three amens in the house back there. For when we started, we had no intention of live streaming. I did not want to live stream. And I had three amens at times. Miss Beth came and helped me. Dave came and helped me at times. And here we are. Amen. The grace of God will carry you in every season of your life. And I don't care what you're facing. I don't care where you are in your season. And we sometimes think, oh, they're so godly. Nothing ever happens to them. Nothing ever comes their way. They just always know how to handle everything. That's not the way it works. Amen. Because life comes. Life happens. Life is, you know, we're sharing this morning, man, there's just things sometimes that hit you blindsided and you don't see them coming. And you can be in seasons of your life where, you know, our life has seasons. I don't believe as Christians we have to be dictated by seasons. Understand what I'm saying. But there's a time when you are, you know, raising your children. And then your children start to raise children. And then before you know it, you're in a season where you're raising your children, your grandchildren. And then your parents become your children. And all of a sudden you're in this season where you're just every direction. Pulled every direction. Amen. And those are the times where you hit your knees. Those are the times when you reach out for help. Those are the times when you say, I know this is a temporary place, but it's hard. And there's places that we walk to and it's hard. Amen. But I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. Something that the Lord laid on my heart last week. And I told Miss Kim, I said, you just share whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And if it's 5 minutes, that's okay. If it's the whole service, that's okay. But I got you. I'll spot you. If you don't go long enough that the kids can have Sunday school. Well, she tore it up last week, and we did not need to follow in behind that. So thankful for her to have the strength and the grace to share her heart. And sometimes we don't understand other people's journeys, you know. And you'll say, oh, I didn't even know about that. No, most of the time we don't. But sometimes when we understand and we see how other people walk through things, it encourages us to have the strength to walk through those areas in our life as well. Amen. Psalm 16:1 says, now you've got my feet on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. How many are thankful that the Lord takes our hand and guides our path? Taking your hand, ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way or the right path. I want to go to Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Actually, some of this that I want to share this morning, Dr. Lynn and I discussed it a little bit on the show. We did about 4 shows on his program that you might have life, talking about crisis of faith. Talking about, you know, sometimes even in our life, you know, sometimes you got to speak to that lion that's inside of those lungs. Yeah. You got to remind yourself. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most powerful things about you is your worship. But your worship comes from a place of the word. When you know the word, what God says and the promises of God that are yes and amen, and then you start to hear it in a song, man, you can get some praise on. Tasha Cobb says it like this, I'm going to put a praise on it. Yeah. Amen. And I said down there the other night, if I need to get something done at my house and I'm home by myself and I need to get some cleaning and stuff done, but I'm meditating, I'm going to put some Tasha Cobbs on and I'm going to dance around in my kitchen with my hand towel in my hand. So if you stop by, it's hard to see what you might see, except that I'm going to put a praise on wherever I am in my life right now. Amen. Because I believe worship, number one, distracts you from laundry and dishes and vacuum cleaners. And we can be doing that and singing Tasha Cobbs, and it just seems like it goes better. Amen. Throw a little Maverick City in there, a little bit of Brandon Lake. Amen. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your voice because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up. Get up, get up, get up. Hallelujah. Get up and praise the Lord. So out of Genesis 28, I want to share something. 1 through 22, I think is where I'm going, in the NIV. It says, "So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, 'Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban and your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take, and your descendants the blessings given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner of the land God gave to Abraham.' Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way. He went to Padan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, 'Don't marry a Canaanite woman,' and that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac, so he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, the sister of Naboth, the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth and will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you.' When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Jacob. This is the gate of heaven.'" Now, this is none other than the house of God. "This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. When Jacob made a vow saying, 'If God will be with me, will watch over me on his journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all you give me, I will give you a tenth.'" Amen. I mean, the scripture says that Jacob came to a certain place. Now, let me give a little bit of backstory and catch you up to why Jacob is where he is at the moment. Jacob has just been called in to his father, and his father has mistakenly given the blessing of the birthright and the blessing of the house to Jacob because Jacob had just tricked his brother out of it and had brought the meal in and had put fur on his hands and his arms so that his dad would not mistake him, that would think that he was Esau, and that the blessing would go to, should have gone to Esau, but Jacob took the blessing and the birthright at his mother's instruction. And so we find that Jacob is a little bit of a rascal. A little bit, a lot. Yeah. Amen? Now, there is a parallel because how many know there was a first man Adam and a second man Adam? There was an Esau and then there was a Jacob. Hallelujah. The second Jesus became our rightful heir to the birthright and to the promise. But so here we find Jacob. His mom says, "You got to get out of here. You got to go down to the land of your brothers, and you got to dwell there until your brother gets over being mad at you, and that one day maybe you will come back to this land. How many know Jacob's story did not start out well? And so it starts out with trickery and deception and deceit. And it starts out, which seems like it should not even go that way, right? And so we find that Jacob is in his journey with some history and some backstory. Now, I want to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you got some history behind you that isn't always pretty? So we got some honest people in here, amen? And so we sometimes allow our past to be a block or a barrier to our future. And so we can live in the past and we can live in our defeat or our failures, or we can encounter God in a certain place. I mean, the scripture says he came to a certain place and he lay down and he made a rock for his pillow. Can we say he was between a rock and a hard place? Right? Ever been between a rock and a hard place? Now, he lays down in this place, and when he does, God begins to open the heavens to him. And the beauty of this story is sometimes we think God only opens the heavens to the good and the righteous and the holy on this train that's bound for glory. You know that song? Nobody goes but the righteous and the holy on this train. And so here we have Jacob in a place. He's between a rock and a hard place. He is labeled a liar, a cheater, a thief, an imposter. And he takes a rock for a pillow and he lays down. But while he's there, heaven begins to open and God begins to speak and says, I am. I am God. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. How many know there was a promise made to Abraham before Isaac was even in the process? And then we sometimes don't remember the promises of God. But how many know God made to a promise of God, made a promise to Abraham, and he is about to use Jacob in spite of himself. God's about to work through Jacob in a way that he doesn't see coming. And he's about to raise him up and to make him a nation and about to cause him to be enlarged in this hard place. And so God begins to speak to him, and he begins to, as he closes his eyes, he begins to see some people call this Jacob's ladder, right? There's a ladder come down. This one says staircase. How many know a ladder, only one person can be on the ladder at one time? Amen. You're either going up or you're going down, but you don't pass on a ladder, right? But a staircase, you can ascend and descend at the same time. What I love about this is God is about to open heaven to Jacob. And not only is he showing him access to the heavens, but he's bringing heaven into the earth. See, God's intention from the beginning has not always been just to get us from here to there, but it's to get from what's working there to work here in the earth. God wants to bring heaven to earth. I do not confess that I am a weary pilgrim passing through. I want to tell you I'm a born-again believer of God living in the victory and the miracles of this day. And I don't believe we got to wait till we get there to enjoy heaven. I believe heaven gets inside of us. And when it gets inside of us, it'll show up in your house. It'll show up in your car. It'll show up in your job, because heaven isn't about a destination. It's about an experience. And so he's about to experience some heaven in the earth. You want to know what changes people's lives? You can preach to them all you want to, and it is just words if it never gets inside of you. See, you can know all about God, but never really encounter God. You can know all of his names. You can quote the scriptures. You can do whatever you want to. But I want to tell you, when his presence comes and it wrecks you and you know that you have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you cannot leave that moment and not remember that encounter. Hallelujah. Because there is a presence that when God begins to ascend and descend in our hearts, and he causes us to dream again. Come on, somebody. Jacob is about to dream again. And when he has a dream or a vision, it's not what's happening in the earth. It's about what's happening in the heavens and what God wants to bring through a generation called Israel and called Jacob, my descendants. It's about to bring heaven to earth. And I believe we're in a season where we're about to see an open heaven where the heavens are in colliding with what's happening in the earthly. And what it does, you know what it does? It causes atmospheres to change. It causes imposters to change. It causes tricksters to change. How many know before Jacob is ever able to fulfill the call of God in his life, there's an encounter with the heavens that brings him to a place where he begins to understand, hallelujah, what's happening. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. You know, I shared a couple weeks ago about when Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk on water, and the scripture says, when they saw him coming, they were afraid. How many has ever been afraid of God? They were afraid, and the scripture said, because they thought he was something else. They thought he was a ghost. They thought he was an apparition. Can I tell you, fear and storms and doubt will distort your vision of who you think God is. And you will blame him for a whole lot of things that he's not guilty of, because God does not bring fear on you. He does not bring sickness on you. He doesn't need cancer to process you. He doesn't need death to process you, but he won't waste a moment of your heartache. He will turn it for good and cause something good to come out of evil and what seems like a hard place. He will cause something good to happen. And Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. I couldn't see him. It was distorted. I didn't know he was in my hard place. I didn't know he was right here. I didn't know if he even liked me at this moment. Come on, we just said Jacob was a rascal. Do you know when the heavens opened, after Jesus was baptized, there's a dove that descends. And says it sits upon him, and the Holy Spirit just descends kind of in the form of a dove. Let me say it like that. And the voice from heaven says, this is, you know it, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not one miracle has happened yet. Not one leopard has been cleansed. Not one blind eye has been opened. He's not fed the multitude, and he hadn't turned water into wine. But the affirmation of heaven will always empower a son to do what he was called to do. Yeah. I mean, Jesus from that moment goes into a wilderness place. And his identity is revealed because the enemy comes to him and said, well, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. What Jesus really said in Lisa's revised version is, if you'd have just heard what my Father said about me when he opened the heavens, You say, if you be. No, my papa just said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Outside of your works, outside of your miracles, outside of feeding the multitude, you're my son in whom I am well pleased. And it empowered him to go into the wilderness, a 40-year example of the wilderness journey of those in the wilderness. 40 is significant in a lot of ways, but how many know Jesus goes into the wilderness and he's tempted of the enemy? He offers him all the cities of the world. He said, turn these stones into bread. He said, stones were never intended to be bread. How many know there was a stone of the law? Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law. But I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But I come to give you life. And that more abundantly. How many know he dealt with the wilderness through an identity? One of the main problems we have in our churches today is an identity crisis. Let me say that again. One of the main problems we have, not just in our churches, but in our culture, is an identity crisis. You need to teach your children who they are in Christ. You need to look in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror every day and say, you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Come on, somebody. What changes your heart place is how you approach it. And so he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. What do you mean, Lord, you're in this place? I'm in your hard place. I'm in your place of grief. I'm in your place of loneliness, or fear, or anger, or rebellion, finances, diagnosis, joy, fruitfulness. How many know he's in all those places? Yeah. You say, Lord, where are you? You ever ask that? I think one of the most asked questions in the scriptures, if I'm not mistaken, is how long, Lord? Did you know that? How long, Lord? Still.
So it was probably about a month after she had passed away. I was just trying to find my way, and I was in my bedroom and I was sitting in my bed, and all of a sudden it hit me of what she meant of being still. Like, we can pray and ask God to, you know, pray of things that we need him to do or ask him. Again, it's going to be all about his timing, and being still is part of the way.
Amen. Being still is part of that submission. The rest of that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know the I am. When Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, I am. No. Who do I say sent me? Just tell him, I am. Because every other title you can think about me, Moses, I am. I am your healer. I am your savior. I am your friend. I am a miracle worker. I am your father. I am to know the I am God. And so he says, surely the Lord was in this place. And I didn't know it. I couldn't see it. You ever been in a place where you think, Lord, I just don't even know. Where are you in all of this? Because I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm broken. Maybe you're not any of those. Maybe I'm confused. I have questions. Maybe I'm joyful. Because you know the Lord's in that place too. And I'm faith. The Lord is in that place too. I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. He's in that place too. Surely the Lord is in this place today, right here, right now. And we don't always see it. But see, here's the plan. The plan of God was bigger in Jacob's life than his rebellion was. Ooh. The place he was in was greater than the choices he made. We sometimes hit a roadblock and we think when getting God to answer our prayers because we think we're not worthy to receive what he has in store for us, when he's saying, I have made you the righteousness of God in Christ. You are salt, you are light, and you are not a sum of your actions. I mean, now your actions will get you to a certain place, good or bad. But do you know what? The scripture said, if I ascend into the heavens, you're there. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? But if I make my bed in hell, you're there. Yeah. Wherever you decide, my mom had a saying, it said, if you make your bed, you got to lie in it. Anybody ever heard that one growing up? Wherever you are, I am. The I am God is there. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. It said, an incredible, wonderful, holy. That's what the Message Bible says. Surely the Lord is in this incredible, wonderful, holy place. This is none other than God's dwelling or the gate of heaven. The Message Bible says this is the gate of heaven. Do you want heaven to come to earth? It happens with a realization that God has opened the heavens and you have access to all that he is and all that he has. Not just about getting heaven, getting to heaven, but bringing heaven to earth. I don't know about you, but I want my house to be a little bit like heaven. I want my marriage to be a little bit like heaven. I want my world to be a little bit like heaven. We talk a lot of times about how bad the world is. Do you know every generation has said to the next generation, I don't know, this next generation, have you said it? Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And this is nothing else but an opportunity for the gate of heaven to swing wide and access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't come with a rock to smite Jacob with. He came to a rock to put your head on. Because if you ever understand who the rock that the builders rejected is, when you learn to put your head on a firm foundation, your mind starts to change. Come on, somebody. And you begin to see things differently. The Lord is in this place. That stone became a memorial. Remember, we were talking about those memorials and those markers and those reminders. It became a cornerstone and a reminder of the place he was to get him to the place that he was going to. And here's what I love. He said, I'm going to pour oil on this rock. I'm going to anoint this place. I'm going to anoint the place of encounter. I'm going to anoint this hard place. I'm going to pour some oil on it. Remember what I said about the kitchen and the tea towel? Because sometimes you got to put a praise on it. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, I remember I was going through a very hard season, and it was back in that season again. My mom had passed. Whole lot of things going on in my life. And I was in a dark season. Amen. And I remember crying out to God. It's a whole lot of stuff, and you don't need to know the details. They're not ugly. They're just details. But I remember crying out to God. I did all the right things. Because sometimes we think, that ministry don't walk through areas and don't walk through things, and they're always strong, and they glow in the dark, and they walk on water, and they always have the right answers, and we don't. I'll just tell you that right up front. We don't always. I said on the show the other day, I said, sometimes things are just heavy. Sometimes people are heavy. sometimes some people are heavier than others. And I don't mean that in a bad or negative way, but when you sit beside the grave of a widow who's burying her husband of 65 years on their anniversary on Valentine's Day, those things are heavy. When you hold the hand of a dying cancer patient and you're trying to speak life, they're heavy, right? We all go through those things. But I remember putting T.D. Jakes on and going down in my basement. And he started to pray and preach and prophesy and worship. And I felt something break. And I felt something shift. Not that I hadn't worshiped, not that I hadn't prayed, because I just kept going through all the motions that I needed to go through. And I did what I needed to do because I knew I had to get up. I had to rise up, I had to stand up, I had to wash my face, and I had to do what I was called to do. But I had to let God process some things in my heart. And he began, and I felt some things shift in my basement as I began to dance and worship in a quiet place and in my hard place. God began to pour some oil on it, and he began to anoint that place, and he began to bring me out of a place. And what was once a hard place became a rock and a memorial that I can tell you, I can go back to the spot and say, that's where the anointing presence of the Holy Spirit began to break some things in me. And atmosphere started to change, and mindset started to change, and chemical imbalance is starting to change, and God began to heal and move me from that place of hurt and out of that hard place. And what I once had my head on, a hard place, now becomes a place of anointing and a place of worship that I can tell you, you might be there, but you don't have to stay there. You might walk through there, but don't put up a mailbox and don't take up residency there. Because if you ever understand the key and how powerful that lion inside of your lungs is, you will begin to put a praise on it and begin to shift atmospheres, because that's not who I was. Hallelujah. And so as I was thinking this morning, that we sometimes despise the hard places in our life. And that doesn't necessarily change the hard place. We just despise the hard place. But I believe God said to Jacob, if you knew what I'm going to do in you, in spite of you, you would stand up, get up, rise up, and find strength to anoint the rock as a temporary place of memorial. A place where God is. Hallelujah. And then he began to say, I'm going to return a tenth. God began to speak to him not only in the area, but he began to sow some seed into the season that was yet to come. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm going to give a tenth. When we talk about tithe and we talk about giving a tenth, I mean, no, it comes from our forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that understand when I'm blessed, the house of the God should be blessed. When I'm blessed, the saints of God should be blessed. When I hear people get increase and get positions and get opportunity, I say, thank you, Lord, because when you bless your people, your house is blessed. I don't have to give. I get to give, and I love. Love to be a giver, because God loves a cheerful giver. And when you open your wallet, God will open your heart. And when you open your heart, you cannot outdo God's blessing in your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he began to become a giver and to sow into the next season. Here's what I want to end with this morning. There would come a day when a woman would stand by Jacob's well, that he was yet to acquire and encounter the Messiah. Come on, somebody. Jacob didn't even know he had wells yet to dig, or wells yet to purchase, or the things that was yet to come to him. But when he got up out of the place that he was in, he began to dig some wells and build some wells, because generations down the line, there would be a lady, a Samaritan woman, who would come to Jacob's well. And he would say, "Good afternoon, darling. I come to sit on your well today." And she said, "What? You're a man? You're a Jew? You all don't have any dealings with us. What are you doing in this place? Because surely the Lord is in this place." He shows up everywhere. Can I tell you like this? You still love me afterwards, but he shows up at the bar. That voice that's always been there, it starts talking to you. He shows up at the grocery store. Thank God for that. He shows up in your marriage. He shows up in your disappointment. He shows up in your situation. And he says to her, she says, "Who are you that you would ask me for a drink?" Number one, it would be unclean because you don't share, they didn't share saliva. Do you know that in a Jewish household, even some places today, that they have two sets of dishes, two dishwashers, two refrigerators, two marriage beds, so that nothing unclean crosses up? How many of you, Jesus not only passed through her city, he sat down on her well. And he said, "Darling, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again." You know what she says? "How you gonna give me a drink? You don't even have a bucket." She just told the creator of the universe that there's no way you can give me a drink of water because you don't even have a bucket. To that I say, no bucket, no problem. He said, "You've been drinking from Jacob's well, and that well was a well of deception and distortion and imposter. But I'm about to give you a drink of water that you will never thirst again." And he begins to read her book. Can I just tell you, she had some backstory. She had some history. And the man she was with now, she'd had five husbands. The one she has right now ain't her husband because he hadn't put a ring on it. That was not cool in her culture. She listens to him. The scripture tells us she left her water pot and she went back to her village and said, the village that she was ostracized from. That's why she come in the middle of the day all by herself. The village that she had come from, she goes back to them and said, "Guys, you got to come with me because I have just encountered the Lord. I think I've met the Messiah right here in this place. I didn't recognize him, but he's here, and he's rocked my world." Go ahead and stand with me this morning. Jacob had no idea the impact he would have on generations yet to come, but that there would be a lady who would need a drink of water that had a story a whole lot like his, and that God would begin to reveal the Messiah in her hard place and in that place. Hallelujah. Surely the Lord is in this place. Yeah, but Lord, this is a hard place. He's in this place. Lord, your form is distorted to me. I don't can't see you because of the storm. He's in this place, today, right here and right now. And I don't care what you face. I don't care if it's a good place, if it's a hard place. Hallelujah. He is in this place. My cry is, Lord, never let me miss you in that place. See, sometimes we got to linger. Sometimes we got to be still and know. You just got to be still and know that I have got you in the palm of my hand. And I am in this place. And I am working all things together for your good. Somebody, somewhere down the line, generations yet to come, might need the wells that you dig. They might need a drink of water from the wells that you have inside of you. So don't get stuck in a temporary place. Dig some wells. Get a bucket. No bucket? No problem. He's got you. Drink of the water of life today. I want to open the front, open the altar. If you're here today and you want prayer for whatever reason, you can ask for prayer for somebody else. You can ask for prayer for yourself. You can, whatever in this place you want to encounter, we want to give you opportunity as Beth sings this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. If you're online today and you need to encounter Jesus in this place where you are, receive it today by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We seek your name, O Lord.
The more I find you, the more. Dream.